and excess and G-shaft to Allah Ta'ala is a path of ruin and a path of peril. This has been abundantly proven in the Quran, from the Hadith, and even of the Gospels of the past. Isa alayhi salam had come and announced to the Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullah ilaykum, that I've been sent as a Rasul to you. It's a Rasul to the Bani Israel. وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ, and I also confirm the truth of the divine scriptures that came before me. So an element, an important part of your faith is to believe in all the divine books. But the divine books, not in the present form, when it's distorted, in the form that it was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that form we accept all divine books. So that was the second message of Isa alayhi salam. And the third message was, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ, and I also come to announce, to give you the good news of a Rasul that will come after me, and his name will be Ahmad Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, if you see the older scripts of the Gospel, the Bible, you will find this verse up till this day. In the translation of the Gospel that was printed in London in 1833, this verse comes very clearly, where Jesus says that now I have to leave, and if I don't leave, then Paracletus, that is the name of Rasul-e-Pak, will not come to you. And Paracletus is Rasul-e-Pak's name because it means the one that was worthy of all praise, Ahmad. So they were in the habit that when they translated the names as well. And again, in the Gospel that was printed in 1829. So again he says the same verse, and whether you pronounce it as Paracletus or Paraclete, both are the qualities of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the one that is worthy of praise. And Paraclete means is an embodiment of mercy, and we say of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rahmatan lil alamin. So exactly what the Gospel says is in prediction for the truth and for the mission of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it's abundantly clear that when his prophethood, his nubuwwat, is for all times, all people, all places, then that's the only way now. Now, to divert from that way, move away from that way, is asking for problems, is risking yourself, is risking your future. So the easy way is just stick to this, at least the way of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any fancy ideas, distorted, fancy, innovative ideas, leave them aside, and go to the original, that is the way of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he's been predicted in the previous scriptures, and the predictions are absolutely 100% correct, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to see a Jewish youngster who had taken ill. He used to be an attendant for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now he had taken ill, and the sunnat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to visit the sick. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited this youngster, not feeling well. His father was seated near him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the father, do you find me mentioned in your scriptures? يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Do you find me mentioned and recorded in your scriptures? The father said, no. The youngster that was lying sick, so he says, my father is speaking a lie. In the Torah, there is clear mention of your name, O Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, in the Hebrew translation of the gospel, the name Ahmad has been preserved. Here it was Paracletus, and here when it was translated in Hebrew language, then the same name, exact name, Ahmad, has been preserved. And thereupon the youngster said, and I also declare, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He knew that this was already contained, and moving away from it is a way to disaster and problems. It is the truth, the last moments, Allah Pak blessed him. Rasulullah said, now he is a Muslim, now you have to take in charge of him in the case of death. So you all make the ghusl, you all do the kafan for him. One Jewish rabbi, he was wanting to know about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, let me go and check up myself. So initially, there was a crisis, there was a drought somewhere, and he offered to help with a payment plan, payable when able. Anyway, so Rasulullah received it to help that people that were struck with some type of strife and some type of drought. Now before the due date, this Jewish person comes and he reprimands the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You people, family people, are always delaying your payments. Some Sahaba Kiram that were around, they felt very much upset that this is a Jew, a non-Muslim, and is being so aggressive. When he's given his word, payable when able, then how can he make this type of a claim? Rasulullah stopped the Sahaba Kiram. In some traditions, it's reported that there be some advice. Both me and this person were worthy of a better advice. So I advised him that he should be more considerate when making the demand, and should have advised me that I be more prompt in my payment. But now see, Nabi Sam, a perfect example, comprehensive, complete, perfect, all round. He doesn't look at the thing only from one perspective. In some hadith it's stated that Rasulullah admonished them and said, Allah Ta'ala has prevented me from being cruel, from being wrong to even a non-Muslim that's living in our country. Though he's here and though he's non-Muslim, but that doesn't give us the right for being aggressive towards him, unkind towards him. Then he instructed Umar radiallahu anhu to go and pay the person and give him approximately 200 kilo more of grains for your aggression. Anyway, all that happened, transpired. So Umar radiallahu anhu is going to give him as Rasulullah has instructed. So he removed the cover from his face. And he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, do you recognize me? Said, oh, you Zayd ibn Sa'ina. I said, yeah, I'm Zayd ibn Sa'ina. But why were you so impolite and aggressive towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, see, I studied the Torah, and I saw all the predictions that were contained about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I wanted to see something personally. I wanted to see that the gospel says that the more a person is aggressive towards him, then his tolerance, his endurance just progresses accordingly. Like one is somebody is aggressive towards us, we also want to be aggressive. But Nabi's demeanor works totally different. The more aggressive, and the more the endurance and consideration. So he says, I saw this now firsthand, I don't need any other proof, and I'm declaring Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And half my wealth, it was about the wealthiest Jew, Jews are already loaded, it was about the wealthiest, said half my wealth is for Islam. So the description of Rasulullah is contained even in the previous scriptures, and they know it very well. The scriptures also say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, born in Makkah Mukarramah, he fair in complexion, a little bit towards red, not too tall and not too short, it's medium. He will move on to Medina Munawara, and his kingdom will extend towards Sham. And he'll be a person that is not aggressive. He doesn't return wrong with the wrong. Someone was wrong to him, then he is not wrong. He doesn't turn aggressive towards the person for the wrong that was done. Laki ya'fu wa yasfahu is a man that forgives and overlooks. We call ourselves the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have that in us, forgive and forget. Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Quran Sharif says it so clearly, but don't you like that Allah should forgive you? If you want Him to forgive you, then you have the heart of forgiving others. Small mistakes, big mistakes, but when it's the promise of Allah Ta'ala that you will forgive and forget, and I will also forgive and forget. Can any of us say that we have got no baggages whatsoever? You ought once maybe like that Allah should treat us with forgiveness and give us a clean slate on the day of Qiyamah. Then again, Ali says that he's a man, da'im al-bishra, is always a constant smile on his Mubarak face. People that know him, people that don't know him. I ask you for a moment, let's stop here and ask, how many of us smile when you go to a home, make salam with a broad smile? Or the smile is restricted to a very close friend or a business partner, doing a lot of business with him, so make him feel like an important person. Yeah, was Rasulullah with anybody, poor, wealthy, average class, man of status, no status, but da'im al-bishra, always, smile on the face. As though he's giving people hope, that there's a lot of hope in Islam. Come, see for yourself, and you'll see the hope, you'll see the scope, and you'll see the accommodation in Islam. But you don't want to taste it, you don't want to see it. So how you understand what Islam is all about? Sahl al-janib. The Rasulullah was a man that was easily approachable. No, now you must make an appointment with me to see me at this time, at this place. No, easily approachable. The lowest of the community, a slave, lowest, absolute lowest. I will say, living in an informal. Absolutely. He wants to talk to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, readily accepts it. Where would you choose me to speak to you? At this spot, at that quiet spot, wherever. So wherever that person holds his hand and takes him along, come and speak to me here. So that was our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then again, besides Layyin al-Janib, غير مشاحن, he didn't harbor any malice with him. At any time, there was no malice. It wasn't a malicious person. What do you mean by malice? It's I don't wish well for you, or I wish some problems to come to you. So Rasulullah was not like that. He didn't wish bad for anybody, nor did he wish for any bad or calamity to strike anybody. Like how it happens nowadays, we don't realize we are living in a Western culture. So many a times our hearts are filled with malice, especially if it's a competitor. He must just collapse and my business run. He wasn't like that. Live and let others live as well. Enjoy and let others enjoy. It's a free enterprise. So why must you keep everything just to yourself? Enjoy and let others enjoy as well. That was Rasulullah said, enjoy. He said, I'll give everything away. You can enjoy, but also give others a chance to enjoy also equally like you would like to enjoy. غَيْرَ مُشْرَعِينَ. So his heart had no fault for anybody. Not thinking bad. Oh, his person here, and I know his past, what he was in his day, I know about him. But he said, kya fayda hoga? What will be the benefit? If you are reminiscing and recollecting his past, does it make a difference to your life? So forget that. You also have a past. Think about it. And he also got a past. You won't want to be exposed. And he doesn't. وَغَيْرَ أَيَّابٍ. Nabi wasn't a person. Sometimes it is, I want to push the person down. So now look for his faults. Where are his faults? I must push him down. He's becoming too famous, becoming very popular. So let's push him down, smash him down. I know his past. So let me just make it viral. This is what he did at this place. That was not Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's all the new Western modern thinking that has crept into our society, and we don't realize we are aping them, enslaving them, or we being enslaved by them. So غير مشاحن ولا عيابين ولا مشاحنين ولا مشاحن. And he wasn't a stingy person. They say that he was so broad-hearted, that the only time that he said La was at the time of Tashahud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. No God besides Allah. Otherwise, oh, come, take. So the constricted lifestyle was not because he was poor, no. But wealth could not just run. It was like a running stream, you know, coming and going. It's coming. Wealth is coming and moving on. It's not hoarding that wealth. It's coming and gone. Coming. Millions came in the morning, by the evening everything is gone. So that was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not storing and hoarding, but thinking of the people all around, that I am going to be storing and keeping, hoarding. What about the neighborhood? What about others? What have I done for the others? وَغَيْرَ مُسَاحٍ غَيْرَ مُسَاحٍ. Right? Then again, وَلَا سَخَّابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He wasn't a person who shout around in public areas. Some people have a habit, public areas, bazaars, etc., you shout. Right? He wasn't like that. And تَرَكَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى صَلَاةٍ. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had committed himself to three things. Three things. At least, you can take this home today. By the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, by His bounty, we take this three. He committed himself to three things. Islam is not just the outer dimension. The inner dimension is equally important. If the outer dimension is important, then Allah Pak says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The one that has won this whole competition of life is the one whose heart is clean. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam committed himself to three things. One is ala tarkil mira. We'll never see him in a dispute, argument, fighting, quarreling, not at home, not out of the house. Sometimes we quarrel inside the house, but outside the house, we're like malaika, like angels we are. In the house, with all that garmi and that emotions load into the house. Because now she got no one to support her, so we take advantage over the situation and dump into the house. And some people are such that all the fights they would take it to the street. So Nabi Sam was not like that. No fighting, no arguing, no quarreling, no debating. He wasn't a man like that. He'll discuss, advise. The man accepts well and good. He doesn't accept. Nabi Sam will not curse the person. That was our Nabi Sam. At least we take this lesson at home. With this teaching of wisdom will bring a quality of life. Now we've got some quantity of life, so much we've got, but do we enjoy the quality, the beauty, the sweetness, the quality of life? The quality of life is without doubt the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's never a man to fight, to argue, to look to revenge, to avenge, no, not like that. But forgive, forget, forget those things. We all want Allah Ta'ala to look at us favorably. So we need to look at His servants also favorably. Like His servants are like His children. We want Him to look at us favorably. But we're not looking at His children favorably. How do we expect Allah Ta'ala to look at us favorably? Number two, the second thing that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promoted himself was غير إكباري. He was never a proud person. Proud, attitude, arrogance, showing off. He wasn't a person, right? Simple, straightforward, and clear. Not showing off your car or your house, gated estate, investments, bank balance. No, no. He wasn't showing off. Ghayra ikbarin. Never showed off. No, never boasting. Never show off. Not at all a proud person, an arrogant person. All right. You know, he didn't show me that respect that I deserve. So he wasn't a man like that. Like how we hold a grudge. No, he didn't show me that respect. He owes me an apology. Why? He didn't show me that respect. But he wasn't like that. Easy going. Easy. That is why he was the Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Allah gave him the title that you are a blessing, you are a mercy for the whole world. So you need to have that type of broad shoulders and some level of understanding that what our investment, where our investment is going. The better the heart, the better the investment. Like it's the ground, right? The better the ground, the more fertile, the better the product. So we want that product to be going good, so keep this right. So غَيْرَ مِرَائِنْ وَلَا إِكْبَارٍ وَتَرْكِ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. And things that don't concern him, he didn't get involved. It doesn't concern my life, it doesn't concern my business, it doesn't concern my deen, my children, it doesn't concern them now. So what's the need for me to get involved in all these things here? We look at our lives, at least half of the life is involved in things that don't concern us. Worried about Japan, what's there, what's the latest there, and who's now the Prime Minister of America, and what a failure the Prime Minister is. It doesn't concern. It doesn't concern my business, not dunya, not akhirat. So why must I get myself involved and engaged in things that don't concern me? We'll see now how much of time of ours is wasted. If the time could be just corrected, right, how much we could have earned. One friend tells me, sometimes he comes here, so he tells me that, you know, I come from overboard here, so I switch off the radio, no music, no nasheed, no songs, nothing, and I just recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. My coming and my going, easily I complete 6,000 la ilaha illallah. But now, this is an investment. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, the only thing that the Muslim will regret is those moments have passed and I didn't exploit, I didn't maximize on those moments. They come and they're gone, they're never to return. So the moments are here, Mubarak months, last 10 days, maximize, going to the shop, coming from the shop, they read La ilaha illallah, at least this much. At least we got something to our credit.